Usually,
I feel like, all right, 10 seconds. I feel like, I'm telling you, Bill Maher in real time, they got the idea for the overtime listening to us. Yeah. I don't know what it is with this microphone. I don't know. It's not that it sounds bad. It seems to be, at times, a little on the distorted end there. It's just, I don't know how to use this audio chain. I got this stuff here.
You just got, I think, too much stuff in there, and you're probably overdriving it a little bit. You have to probably cut everything back down and then heat it back up on the output.
Alan's saying he's right. I've got to get gymnasium from the all-new Hank and Jim show. Another presentation of Radio New York International. Yeah. That's the way I try and make it sound like it's our presentation, when it's solely holy what they do, and so wackily that when I am home on a Friday night, I know I have something silly to listen to, and I enjoy the hell out of it.
You pass me some of your audio when you make the tracks up through a stereo emulator, like you did with the show.
Yes,
it's causing a little distortion in there because these little transmitters aren't that great for it.
Yeah, no, it's probably true. How does it sound overall, though? I think
overall, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, and it's not an emulator per se. I use software.
Yeah.
To stereoize some stuff.
Yeah, and that does cause a little distortion in my head. Plus, when we mix it back to mono, we have to hear what it would sound on BCQ once you mix it back. We did get a call earlier. Somebody said the high end was rolling off. And this was down in Texas. And I'm saying, well, maybe it's BCQ's problem.
Right. Was it rolling off on BCQ?
Yeah.
Well, for Christ's sake, there is no high end on BCQ.
Yeah.
For those of you listening on WBCQ, you're not right now. The rest of you, see, the signal we send to BCQ, because the air staff down there apparently are incapable of of enough technical competence. I hope they're not listening online. I don't care. Actually, they should be. Of enough technical competence to be able to figure out how to get to a fucking website using Winamp and get the audio over the internet. Actually, it's more the fault of the internet connection they have up there that is somewhat unreliable.
It's
just been brought to
now.
My attention way too many times. Yeah,
the satellite is slow. It's much slower than what they had, and what they had wasn't good at all.
Yeah, so it's just not working well, and good internet service is kind of integral to the operation of any radio station these days. And unfortunately, WBCQ's internet connection blows. So rather than them picking up our full fidelity stereo feed and mashing it down into some type of acceptable mono on the shortwave, they get their feed from us here via the telephone, and we don't have a Comrex or anything to use here to encode it to give it an extra high end or an extra low end. It just goes out over the phone line, and what they get is what they get. And if it sounds compromised, it's because it is to begin with.
Yeah, well, the guy said the high tower portion was good, but then your mic was rolling off. And I'm thinking, well, I can't really get into this much. It's got to be maybe compression is causing the effect with the phone line, and then recompressed at the transmitter. Maybe that's why it's coming out a little muffled.
The problem is when you techie corner with John P. Lightning, when you try and gussy up and fancy up the system, is with the compression on my microphone and on my microphone alone, it brings up every bit of noise, ambient noise in the room. And when I'm taking a telephone call, I have to kill the compression, or else the background noise on my microphone tends to make it hard to hear the caller. And not to mention, if I have on any other microphones in the room, even the big guys over there, it tends to make it hard to hear the phone call, because you hear the noise from the air conditioning and or fans over at the other end of the room here. Now, he's down the other end of the room here, about 17, 18 feet away from me. But, that's where the other audio interference is. So it's just, I need to get an expert in here that would tell me that I'd have to spend thousands of dollars that I'm certainly not going to spend to affect an audio cure. Yes, big guy, what's going on?
Says the audio was absolutely good. He doesn't know what about this guy in Texas, but he said his audio was good. He says, I think he got a little muffled at times.
All right, good. Where was this gentleman calling from?
I didn't get his location, but...
But these are kind of the essential things. When somebody calls in, I like to have a vague idea where they're calling.
I was relaying while he was still on there, so my mind went forward rather than jotting down the information.
Concern is not even so much jotting down as I'm wondering where the signal is reaching tonight.
Yeah.
Because this time via the reception pattern, the low by the frontal lobe, whatever, it changes somewhat.
Yeah.
And our signal seems to get out better to the southwest for one.
Yeah.
Than it does at other
times.
That's
where it's actually pointing. That's where it's.
Yeah, not that that's necessarily where it goes. It's like that whole thing of WBCQ transmits its program to Mexico and South America. What a crock of shit! It transmits it to whatever Americans can get it. See, what we tell the FCC: we're broadcasting to Mexico and South America. Those fuckers are purely incidental. They're not calling. If they are listening, we're not hearing from them. They're not making financial contributions. They don't fucking matter.
Well, the thing is that you're looking for the secondary audience in the U.S. by putting the transmitter up in Maine and then beaming south, because by the time the signal gets down there, there's not much left to it.
Exactly. And, of course, it's covered the entire country.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to get that area, then you go on WRMI, which is out of Miami. That's the guy feeding down there. That's where it's strong. But who wants to go? I like Jeff White. He's a nice guy, but I'm not going to pay him airtime to go to an audience that doesn't speak our language.
How much do they get for airtime we're practically giving away rates that we have here?
I never asked him. So, and Jeff's got a partner. So the partner, I believe, really sets the rates. Just like the guy who organized the station, plays the politics with it.
Yeah. Okay, gee, wow. Whew. Well, I'm pretty well tapped. That's it for our overtime show. We gave you less of an overtime show tonight than Bill Maher even gives you. But to be able to do that consistently, I would need to have guests in here. We need to have, tonight, Jason Alexander, Mike Wallace, and who else did he have the other night? Some chicky poof that kept interrupting Mike Wallace. I was like, excuse me, Mike Wallace is the senior citizen here. You let him speak a little more, and then you take your couple of seconds. I don't know.
Myron Wallace? Yes. What is a radio actor?
Yes. Real time is still probably, to me, at least when it's on the air, which it's not enough weeks of the year because they take like real long vacations. I guess that Bill Maher could do his comedy act around the country and they could start writing some new shtick because, to have all those segments every week, believe me, they're writing year-round. At least to have good ones, you have to be writing year-round.
The idea is you look at the current news, you write something about it, and then when the news story repeats in 6 months, just plug in different names. You got it,
That show is enough reason. In and of itself, real time is enough reason for you to subscribe to HBO. No Showtime, you can live without Encore, 20 different channels of movies nobody wants to ever see. Every time I tune through the Encore channels, I think in the decade or more that I've had Encore, I might have spent a couple hours watching it. Generally, I'd watch the Western Channel because they have one like real old Western, black and white, half hour Westerns from the 40s and the 50s.
The TV Westerns,
And there are occasionally some cute young 16 and 17 year old types on the kiddie channel there. Like, oh, yeah, look at her skirt right up. Other than for that, the Encore channels, Encore Black, Encore Hispanics between the ages of 17 and 24, all these niche channels, nothing there for me.
I used to watch on Nickelodeon, there was a Shell live program around SpongeBob and the others. And they put a whole new show with different people on it. But the girl on there, she's supposed to be like a teenage girl. And you could tell the night she had a hot date. She's wearing low cut with the makeup when she's not normally wearing that. She looks hot one night. She's showing her real age.
Well, how old is she really?
I would assume she's about in her mid-20s,
Oh, gee, okay.
Yeah, but she has that baby face, so she's still supposed to be like for the preteens and tweens audience.
Well, then why would they even let her? let her on the air looking more grown up if they're trying to present her as younger than she really is.
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea. That night she had a date and she couldn't give a shit.
Well, that night she shouldn't have been let before a camera. Yeah.
I mean, I remember one of the soap opera shows. They had the ingenue type, supposed to be the teenager. She walks out of there dressed to the hilt. She's after somebody on that show. I mean, she's got the heels. She's got her ass popped out in a tight skirt, a low cut, and she's got the hair and the makeup. She's after somebody.
The one thing I can't do is the low cut either. You don't have real breasts.
I know.
You can't do it. Although it's amazing what you could do with tape and falsies. 718-633-3010 if you'd like makeup tips. 718-
Somebody will call in.
You know what sucks when you get to my age? You want to go out and do something really silly like that. Putting on false eyelashes when, like, your sight is gone and you can't see up close, man. You know, it's like I got it on. Half of it is hanging off. You know, the last time I tried putting them on, I had one on my chin and the other one was on my abdomen. I don't know what the big guy is laughing about, but apparently I had to put on my headphones again, and I knew it was going to be... to have to talk to Rufus. But Rufus knows, hey, you know, I just checked online. It said, well, there's a reasonable audience still listening out there, so I might as well go and end Johnny's evening for him and keep him up late. The motherfucker, all I want to do is get to bed, and this motherfucker is going to keep me up.
He says Rufus. 10 seconds.
Okay, hi, Rufus, 10 seconds.
Hello?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't do... Yeah, I did. Line two. I'm sorry. On line two... says Lightning adjusting the compressions that we can hear. Rufus is Rufus.
Hello.
There he comes. There he goes.
Pick it up,
Lightning.
Yes, sir.
Distinguished panel and expanding audience. Since we're in overtime, I just have to deliver one message. And folks, you know what this message is.
Mm-hmm.
Break. Open the saddlebags and contribute to this show, because this show, folks, is free speech. I don't care if you disagree or agree with Johnny Lightning and that panel. These guys let people on the air, and they open up everything for discussion, and that's all that matters. So, folks, all together now, break them open, baby. Break open those saddlebags. Break them open. I'm telling you, break them open. Don't even hesitate.
Here he goes with the music. What the hell is he playing?
I don't know.
Okay, that's enough of that. I don't know. What was all that noise over there? What are you doing? All right, it's 7-1. No, I'm not giving out the phone number. I'm supposed to be out of here. Okay, I got to take another call. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Why am I taking another call at 11:11? Hey, that's a good time of day here on the 11L Network. Line one? Line one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't be sure. All right, Bill in Ohio, welcome aboard the overtime portion of the Extravaganza.
Well, thank you, Johnny, for putting your headphones on, and thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it, and I do indeed. Johnny, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of old man McCain trying to get back into politics with the war? Interesting, ain't it?
I don't know that it's interesting at all. I really cannot see McCain as anything else but another suck-up who panders to whatever political expediency he believes is the one that might allow him to develop a new base so that he could so that he can find himself enough potential voters to make himself viable, particularly as Giuliani is outdistancing him so badly early in the game. But once again, McCain does stand a shot, if only because, once again, once the public, once America becomes far more familiar with Rudolph Giuliani, I think that that the Giuliani bandwagon wheels are just going to they're going to crumble, and John McCain's star is going to rise. But I don't think he has the gravitas to do it. As I believe I've stated previously on this show, I truly do believe his day is come and gone, and I don't trust the guy. You want to talk about a flip-flopper, he ranks.
Well, thank you, Johnny. You're reading my mind exactly.
Oh, that's scary.
I mean, my golly, you know. I mean, I just wanted to back up what I thought. Thanks, John, and thanks, crew, for staying on later. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night, gentlemen.
All right, brother, you have the same. And And I'm going to get out of here now. Yes, I am, because I don't want to oversleep again tomorrow. Occasionally, I wake up on a Monday morning and say, ah, screw this. Wait a minute. Now, change the setting. There we go. And immediately the feedback begins.
I don't hear the difference with that.
It's subtle.
Yeah. It's a compressor. Yeah, I can see how well it's compressing.
Well, it's supposed to compress and limit.
Yeah, I know. It's a
fucking job it's doing.
Yeah, you hit all that background noise, so probably you're overdoing it. So, you know, it sounds good to your ears, but not when you get it pass it through all the other equipment, you know.
Right, you see, but then what I need is compression on the overall outgoing signal, but that's going to bring up the noise levels, too.
That's right.
Not to mention, you know, I need two channels of compression. Maybe, I don't know, we have to get together one day during the week and discuss what might be done.
This is a
stereo. This is supposedly primarily meant for microphone use, but this is a stereo processor here that I got on this microphone.
Yeah.
You'll note only 2 meters are moving. The other one, we don't use that channel.
Yeah.
And yet the tube is in it getting killed every weekend. This unit doesn't allow you to selectively turn on and off channels.
Yeah.
So you see those two tubes glowing, although one of them is getting no use?
Yeah, well, that happens. Well, you know, 12AX7s. They're made in Russia these days. They're kind of cheap, and the market's loaded with them, believe me. It's popular, yeah.
It's not like my former WJPL-FM transmitter where even Fair Radio had a hard time finding those tubes in
EMAX,
yes, warehouse.
The EMAX, yes. They were, yeah, because all the other pirates are probably using them. You know,
still got one or two of those sitting down in the basement.
I saw one, yeah.
Right? Just as a reminder of them their days. Just, the FCC decided to leave them behind and said, he's not going to need these again. Well, you're right, scumbags.
Yeah, well.
And this quarter of a watt, oh, I'm illegal. I'm a pirate. This quarter of a watt transmitted I've gotten here that gets the signal relatively nicely around the building. Yeah. No, it turns out not to be that much. I'm out in front of the building a couple of days ago, what, maybe 70, 75 feet away from the transmitter.
Yeah. And
shoveling snow, and I got it tuned to 91.9. And the signal, whatever Jewish pirate is on that station reading the Torah or whatever, is overwhelming my signal.
Yeah. Well, you got to realize the area you're in is probably where they are, you know. They're probably only a few blocks away, you know. Because I've passed through this area and I've heard this pirate on different frequencies, and they always were weak. So, in other words, they got a low power one, but they're right nearby. They got to be like a couple blocks from you.
Well, they do have a good signal. I'm going to have to go back down to the basement, pull out those parts. I'm going to build that 1 watt extension transmitter.
Yeah.
And that should pretty well do it. If I put it into the directional antenna on the roof, well, man, that'll be a pirate again.
No, I'll tell you the truth. There's so many out there. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to DX. I'm trying to listen to Fairleigh Dickinson, and there's a pirate on there. And I say, okay, let me turn on HBC. They got an oldie show. I'm driving in here. Two different oldie shows, and there's a pirate on there. You know, and it's not worth it anymore. You know, it's not worth listening to FM radio anymore.
No, the real pirates, and when I use that phrase, I refer to people that pirated radio space infrequently, temporarily, for short durations of time.
Hobby
class. Not to make a profit, but to have some fun, to have a good time, to expose what could be a fairly sizable audience in an area such as New York City to variants of programming otherwise unavailable. The so-called pirates now on the air are not real pirates, if you will. They certainly don't present themselves as such. They present themselves as legal. They sell airtime to sponsors. They have websites that, once again, try and pass themselves off as legal. That has nothing to do with pirate radio. If I knew where half of these fuckers were, I'd be tempted to call the FCC and say get rid of them, because they have nothing to do with pirate radio.
They know where most of them are, and just that they have no money to enforce it anymore.
And they're stepping being on licensed broadcasters.
That's right.
You know, if we were on like 91, for the most part, our career was spent on 91.9, which in the tri-state area is pretty much a dead fucking issue. It's nothing licensed at our frequency.
Right.
We went and found ourselves a frequency that was dead empty. These scumbags will pop on anywhere they can.
To get anything on 91.9 when no pirates are on, you needed a highly directional long beam antenna to pick up what? A 3,000 watt station running in a valley out in Lake Ronkonkoma. Actually, it's
right. There was something out in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Actually, that's Centennial over in Jersey, over where Mars was. I forgot what the hell is that town, Eatontown. Mm-hmm. That's all the way over near the Delaware Water Gap.
Right, and almost Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Almost heaven.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were running like 20 kilowatt or something, but their signal was being blocked by the Watchung Mountains. So you had this big friggin' hole here in New York City on that frequency. You know, if the weather conditions were right, you had the big antenna, you got them.
Right. Otherwise, we appropriated that frequency.
Yeah.
And we did it knowing that we were stepping on nobody. No licensed broadcasters were harmed in the making of this pirate radio shelf. No, nobody else's signal was being stepped on. Nobody trying to listen to that station was hearing us instead. Unless, of course, like, you know, they were crazy DXs and we were just closer. But for the most part, no. We did no harm. The Hippocratic Oath was in effect. We did no harm.
At the time, I think Family Radio had a station in Peoria or outside around there. I think it's gone by now. I think they sold it but to another religious operation. But I'm actually on the Long Island Expressway trying to listen to Hank and Jim on a snow show, and guess what's coming in?
Oh, gee.
Peoria. You know, it's like a funny hell, you know?
Well, now, when Hank and Jim do snow shows, they don't have to worry about anybody coming looking for them.
Either they did a 15-minute snow show on Wednesday, or they were testing. they were training Mike Flagg.
Or that might change soon. I'm always worried about all these new internet laws and, you know, how at some point or another, these scumbags from the NAB or the RIAA or whoever are going to try and come along and tap us with thousands of dollars we don't have for being on the air, so to speak, a couple hours a week. You know, this whole street legal thing.
It's all like that. What we need to do is get some sort of senator or congressman and lobby instead of saying, let's roll back the rates, let's say this, you know, and everything else. Let's say, let's start a hobby class. If you pay for an internet radio station out of your own pocket, you have no advertising, you don't ask for funds from any other way, all right? You don't do payola, it's not pay for play. If it's just purely a hobby class operation, you shouldn't have to pay the royalties because you're doing a service.
See, I've always felt that way, and there were some people that are going to disagree and say, it's theft. It's like downloading MP3s. You're getting away with what? I'm playing on the internet to a relatively minuscule audience who, in the course of one of my shows, might be turned on to a piece of music or an artist they're otherwise unfamiliar with. They'll then go out and purchase that music and maybe become fans of that artist and start attending that artist's performances. In other words, all we could do is help further export some quality music. But none of us are going to do it if we're going to be saddled with a bill of perhaps thousands of dollars a year to play music.
You know, I'm learning a lot more about, you know, I was into doo-wop and group harmony, and I've learned so much more in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years since I've been associated with the cafe. Why? I do a show there. I need material. I go out, I'll find anything that looks like a doo-wop, I'll download it. Whether it be from a news group or we had all these other services. I still use one, WinMX, all right, which is pretty...
Really? I never had any success with that on this computer. I can't even get it to open.
Yeah, it's a problem. Well, WinMX closed down, so it's
oh,
really
they're no more now?
It's a voluntary organization that has it, so it's all new servers, and the software got patches.
How do any of these peer-to-peers continue to operate legally? I know they're all in the People's Republic of Ungots or something?
Yeah, that's about right where it is,
But even not that, aren't they trying to set up some kind of international consortium that could...
I have no idea.
...impose penalties, although I don't see how.
I have no idea what they're trying to do at this point. But I'm saying I would pick this up, and so I'd get all new stuff.
And
stuff I never heard.
Consortium.
Yeah. get all this stuff down and learn about the music. And then some of the other jocks on there are real collectors. They've got tons of stuff and information. I'm hearing more songs. I'm going out and get them. So I'm exposing what I'm learning to the listeners over there who are used to the usual In the Still Tonight and whatever records, and they're hearing some real strange stuff that they haven't heard
before.
I feel
like it's 1956 all over.
You've seen Fred Parris saying that. He did it at every show for about 10 years.
For about 10 years? Come on. That guy's been going on and on like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, but he stopped doing it because people knew he was going to say it. When he got that predictable, he stopped doing it.
Any act gets old after a while. That's why we keep trying to innovate in minor ways here. Make small changes to the proceedings every week. Even little things. It's like the astute listener to this show will recognize the fact that just about every week you tune in, even so much as the jingles of the IDs, they're always changing.
Right.
Every week you're going to hear something new. It's always going to be different. You're never going to tune in and hear the same stop sets, the same breaks, the same whatever. That becomes boring, particularly for real fans that might download the shows and listen to them over and over again. That's why I'm not the only one that listens to myself over and over again. You want to keep it fresh and interesting.
Yeah. No, I listen to my own show because half the time I don't remember what the I did from 1 minute to minute because I don't plan my shows anymore. I grab a few things and say, well, this is what I'm going to start with, and the rest of the stuff is like, what's this request?
It's good that you can get away with it. I couldn't, I for the most part, couldn't do that. It's all about research for me to a great extent, and particularly with the internet. If I want to learn something about a doo-wop group, I just type in their name in Google and we're off and running.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I know how to balance my show with different types and different subgenres, and everybody says I do a great job, and I just think it's like, well, I'm just trying not to bore people with too much of one thing. You know, I went into a pop set last night, of non-doo-wop music, and people didn't say any complaints about it because I made so many changes.
Which I like, which is good. Now considering that doo-wop music has been around of well past the half decade point. How many? Thank you. Half decade. How many times can one listen to the same aged records and be excited about them? Unless they are records that do not get significant airplay.
Well,
those are the ones
do.
I've always tended to play here over the years.
That's
the ones that are, for the most part, ignored.
Yeah, well, I say, you know,
there's no reason for somebody like you to ever play In the Still of the Night on your show unless it's some rare alternate take or a version by somebody different.
Somebody asked for it. I never played this. Oh, well, I guess I played it maybe about 6 months ago. But, that's how often something like that comes
Here
around.
Here we go again. Shut up and shove it in. Not again.
Yeah, but I'm saying, last night, just for the hell of it, when I did the pop set, I opened up with Matt Monroe.
Matt Monroe had a good voice.
Yeah, and who remembered him? Nobody plays that stuff anymore. It's big hit. That's the only one I've got.
Which one was that?
He looks like an angel. Oh, I've got My Kind of Girl.
I'm not familiar with that one. Ladies and gentlemen, a song John Lightning never heard. How does it go? No, really, I never heard of that.
She looks like an angel.
That's the devil in disguise. She looks like an angel.
That's devil in disguise.
That's
a different song.
By the way, this week somebody posted alternate versions of a lot of that Presley stuff online.
That's coming out legitimately, I think.
Well, there's this whole series of Elvis kind of bootlegs that apparently are licensed only in Australia to keep coming out.
Yeah.
I forget what they call the series, but it's a shitload of stuff. What's the name of that Matt Monroe song?
My Kind of Girl.
My Kind of Girl. I'm looking to see if we have it here anywhere, and I don't see it.
No, probably not.
I don't see it. I see here on the computer something called Walk Away. This looks interesting. Yeah, I didn't know. I had apparently a version of Matt Monroe. Get ready. Are you ready for this? Brace yourself. A version of Matt Monroe doing Softly As I Leave You.
Yeah, well, he was a pop singer, British pop singer.
I know, but somehow I don't think of Soul Flea. How does that go? Gee, I don't even remember how that goes.
Well, for Sinatra did the hit. You know how Sinatra did. Softly as I leave you. Something like
but
that.
Did he have the hit on it?
Yeah.
Somewhere out there now is somebody saying, Jesus, softly as I leave you, what's wrong with these people? We don't care at all. Well, look, that's your problem, folks. I care about just about playing good music. That's all. After that, it doesn't much matter to me what the hell happens. I just show up here, I play the music, I go home, and we live to screw up another day.
Well, let's confuse you even more. I also play another British singer, Sandy Shaw. Girl Don't Cry.
And didn't she also do the There's Always Something There to Remind Me, the original version of that?
Original version of that, yeah.
Now, I know Matt Ron Robert, do we have the Matt Ron Roe ready yet? Hold on. Let me see. I got to put on the headphones to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing the Matt Monroe for some reason.
Pot up.
I'm not hearing anything. There it is. My headphones on up. There we go.
There it is. There it is.
I'm still not hearing Matt Monroe, so I'm killing it.
I heard the music, but I don't know who that was.
What happens to the vocal? For God's sakes, I cue it up there, and guess what? Here's Matt Monroe, and there ain't no vocal. Ah, good heavens, ladies and gentlemen. My problems, John P. Lightning's problems, but now they're your problems, too. For what the hell? We're wrapping up anyway, yeah, so it doesn't matter.
It's 11:30. Let's go ahead and cool it. And that'll make it nice and easy when we do the reruns. Yeah.
What do you mean? How's that?
No, it'll be a nice block, so the show will always begin at an even time point. You know, that's what I do with my show. That's why it's 4 hours, and I'll put some fillers in, so the show always, an hour will always begin at the top of the hour. I synchronize it that way.
All right, well, let's go out with some Matt Monroe, maybe. Let's see, is it going to work this time? It just refuses to work. All right, forget about it. Where'd the vocals go? That's all I'm hearing. It's the instrumental bed.
Oh, well. If you didn't take it out, maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, I'll see you later.
All right, okay. Let's get out of here. Hey, thanks again for your time this time. Until next time. Oh, I missed him this week.
Oh, wow.
Channel 5 was celebrating something like their 30th or 40th anniversary of doing a 10 p.m. newscast in New York City, the first 10 p.m. newscast in New York City. And they brought back Bill Jorgensen this week, who probably did his classic sign-off. This is Bill Jorgensen thanking you for your time this time. Until next time.
He's still alive. God.
Still alive and well. And I wanted to video it so I could watch it when I screwed up. So if anybody out there has it, send me a long copy. All right, that's it. Any last words?
Nope.
All right, me, Ida. Thanks again, folks. There's your extended edition once again. Way too much, but what the hell? You don't deserve it. Bye.